I know it's here somewhere.
Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
And we've got quite a show for you today. Actually, it's going to be an extended edition because I've got so much stuff. I just can't get it all into 30 minutes. So plan accordingly. You know, this is the weekend that we spring forward time-wise. Don't forget that. And since we're going to spring forward time-wise, I'm going to spring forward and have a very long program today just for you. And the fact that I have so much stuff. Anyway, we've got some really neat things lined up today. One of the coolest things is that I got a call recently from some folks who wanted to know if I wanted to have a guy on the program as a guest. And I went, what? Moi? Have a guest? That would be cool. And so we have David Friend, who is the CEO and co-founder of Carbonite.com. He's going to be joining us here in a bit. And we're going to have an interview with David Friend. So stay tuned for that, because if you stay tuned for that, there's a little promo code that he gives you that's worth some actual bucks. And that's always a nice thing. So stay tuned. All right, we also have some geek culture for you. And the geek culture this week is rather interesting. I've been running across a lot of geek culture lately that requires sanitization. Now, as I explained last week, the process of sanitization is to remove all the bad language from the geek culture. And, of course, my standards are extremely high. I don't allow any kind of bad language whatsoever. This podcast falls into the category of clean, as in squeaky clean, as in we use that kind of stuff that you spread on things that kills all the germs that I've seen too many commercials for lately. So it's stuck in my brain. Anyway, the point is that we have some geek culture that has been thoroughly sanitized. So let's listen to that. Now, this geek culture is from Sudden Death. Yes, very positive sounding group name, isn't it? And their song is called Cellular Degeneration, which is also very geeky in and of itself. But I want you to listen very closely to this, because the words are quite silly and funny, and I like that in a song. And it's about cell phones, and I'm looking for a new cell phone right now. I've been looking at all kinds of specs, and I can kind of appreciate what this guy's talking about in his song, Cellular Degeneration.
I decided it was time for me to find a new phone. Correction, my 2-year-old decided on her own to see how many things could fit into the toilet one day. I lost my phone, keys, and glasses in the swirliest way. I looked for a deal that would appeal to me. I looked around and finally found to buy one, get 7 free, with free interplanetary calling daily after lunch and more free minutes than there are in a month. A little camera takes pictures that it sends to all my friends. 35 megapixels and a telephoto lens. 3D and night vision, all standard I suppose, but I paid extra for the lens. It lets me see through your clothes. I can use it as a remote to control my TV and even download all my favorite songs as MP3. And the quality astounds, it's in full surround sound, but I don't know how to change the Hello Kitty background. GPS, email, all that stuff ain't enough. This phone deflects bullets for when calling gets tough. It does just about anything at all. But I can't make a phone call. Can you hear me now?
What did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What did he say?
attaches to my chest like they do on Star Trek. And you gotta check out the holographic display. It's telepathic, it will make you obey. Text messaging used to be a pain, but now it's easy because the words are pulled directly from my brain and translated into any language 37 ways. And did I mention the protection against UV rays? It keeps me online anywhere that I am, so I can download from in a traffic jam and have the coolest chats where I pretend to be an elf with an FBI agent who pretends he's 12. My ringtone catches most folks by surprise. Out of nowhere, you hear,
"Tell the devil win a prize."
And I can make a sound that repels bugs, and if I turn it up, I can drive my relatives nuts. I can call through time, I can talk to the dead. I can pretend that I'm a Borg and attach it to my head. I can play back every phone call I ever heard.
Let me try again later.
But I can't understand a word. Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
What did it say?
Can you hear me now?
Huh? What?
Thank you for calling Phototron Global Wireless, a leader in cellular technology. How may I assist you today?
Well, you can start with this piece of phone you sold me. But up along with everything you told me. You stupid think you're all so slick. Well, you nerds can all just end a 10-year contract. What the fuck? It's bull. You can just, my left, go so you Poisonberry Pod.
I'm sorry, sir, you're breaking up. Please call back at a later time or try calling us back from a landline.
No!
Yes, that's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? Can you tell how I sanitized it? Yes. I'm sure the original artist is probably going, "What are you trying to do to my song?" But, you know, it's just one of those things when you have a clean podcast. You want it completely clean. You don't want to have to interject all the beeps. So I just cut them out. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And in this particular case, it was already full of it's where it kept cutting out. Special effects. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. Geek culture from sudden death, cellular degeneration. I like it. Interplanetary calling. I want that in my next cell phone. Okay, you know, here we are, part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
And of course, we like to have promotions for our tech podcast friends out there. And so I have one from Rick Savoia and the Force Field Podcast.
Hi, I'm Rick Savoia, host of the Force Field. It's the official podcast of theforcefield.net, a portal for field service technicians, computer shops, resellers, and other IT professionals in the United States and Canada. The Force Field provides news, views, reviews, and interviews with professionals, companies, and vendors in the industry to help service providers build, manage, and grow their IT businesses. Join us for the next episode at www.theforcefield.net and dare to enter the Force Field.
Yes.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Yes, we're also members of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's BLUBRRY.com. We just have all kinds of connections throughout the known universe. Ah, yes. Anyway, I want to remind you that here we are, Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast, which is, of course, connected to Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog. And the blog may be found at, yes, you guessed it, drbill.cc for Computer Curmudgeon. So I'd encourage you to go there and check out the blog this week. When you do, you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner, there's this sidebar, and in the top of the sidebar, you'll find that we also have a sponsor here on the podcast, Citrix Systems. I work with Citrix Systems throughout the week. Matter of fact, I was very heavily involved in Citrix this week because I was moving our data collector from an old very old HP 700 megahertz machine over to a VMware virtual machine. Very cool, very geeky, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and except the fact that it took quite a long time to get it all just right, but I managed to do it. So, celebrate that. Yes. Anyway, Citrix Systems also has software for the, shall we say, non-professional techie, which would be software that allows you, no matter your level of technical competence, to go to your PC. And the program is called Go to My PC. You guessed it. Isn't that amazing how they named it so appropriately? Anyway, the point is, you can put that, you see, on your PC, and then you can connect across the interweb into that PC and pull up a Excel spreadsheet, or you can look at various things that are only on your PC there. Let's say at work and you need it at home and things of that nature. Very cool stuff. And so I'd encourage you to take the 30-day free trial. It's free. Can't be free. So all you have to do is click on that little badge thingy there in the upper right corner of the podcast blog page there, and you'll be able to try Go to My PC free for 30 days. That's pretty awesome, no matter how you slice it. And if you go down the page, slide down the page, you'll find that we have lots of other little buttons and thingies there. We have a thing where you can translate the entire page into all these different languages represented by flags of the various countries. For instance, the Spanish flag, if you hit that, it will translate the page into, you guessed it, Spanish. Habla español. Yes. Anyway, if you click the button, you can hablo español all day long. Anyway, you can also do French, and you can do other languages right there on the little buttons with the Babel fish. Remember the Babel fish? Small yellow fish you stick in your ear? Anyway, there you go. And there's also a little button that I added this week that I want you to notice. It says, add this blog to my Technorati favorites. I've been asking people all week, click on that and add me to your favorites. Please do that, because it will mean a great deal to the doctor, and it will help me out to rank my blog higher in the rankings, and it'll make me somebody. We all want to be somebody, don't we? Anyway, that would be a cool thing to do. Also, you'll notice over on the right-hand lower side of the sidebar, there's a little kind of moving thing there. Yes, it's moving. And it says Converge South 2008 Countdown. As I record this on Saturday, March the 8th of 2008, it says there are 223 days, 3 hours, 34 minutes, and 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, you get the idea, to Converge South 2008. The reason I have that on there, it is a local convention of bloggers and podcasters and geeky folk of all sorts of types. And they've asked me, little old me, to hold sessions there at Converge South. And so you'll be hearing more about that as we get close to the geekiness of Converge South, which will be happening in Greensboro, North Carolina, NCANT State University. So get ready for that. Lots of things happening. Wow! Anyway, we also, I don't want to go any further without going ahead into our interview with David Friend, who, as I mentioned, is CEO and co-founder of Carbonite. Now, I first heard of Carbonite.com on Rush Limbaugh's show. I was minding my own business, and suddenly there was a Carbonite commercial, and I went, whoa, what's that? And so I checked it out, and it's actually pretty cool, and I've listened to it on other things. They're getting all over the country. And so it was kind of neat to be able to interview the man himself, David Friend. He called me on my Skype line, and I recorded it. So I apologize for the slight Skypiness of the conversation, but that's just a nature of the Skypiness of Skyping. Yes. So, without any further ado, let's go into our conversation with David Friend, CEO of Carbonite.
Hey, Dr. Bill.
Yeah, hi.
David Friend here.
Glad you could call. I'm looking forward to this.
Good.
I wanted to mention to you before we get started that I'm a member of the Tech Podcast Network,
And one of the things I thought about doing is making the interview available to them, and they would pick it up as they wanted to use on their podcast. I didn't think you'd mind that.
No, that's fine.
Because it would be a lot of exposure, but I think it would be something that folks would be interested in. How did you come up with the idea of having a system like Carbonite? It's a fascinating idea for saving files over the internet.
Well, you know, like most good things, it came from personal experience. Business partner Jeff Flowers and I were sitting on his patio 2.5 years ago looking out at the ocean, and his wife walked in, and her car had been broken into, and somebody stole her laptop, and she lost 2 years of baby pictures that she had never backed up.
Oh, no.
And then, yeah, and then literally 2 days later, one of my daughters called up from college, and the hard drive on her PC crashed, and she lost the term paper that she'd been working on for 2 months. And so I sent the hard drive out to one of these labs that tries to recover data from dead hard drives, and they charged me $1,100, and they still couldn't get the term paper back. And that's when Jeff and I looked at each other, and we said, it's a computer-literate families here. What's the story? You know, why aren't our own family members backing stuff up? And we went and looked what was out there, and there wasn't anything that was easy and inexpensive. You know, you could spend your Saturday afternoon burning some CD-ROMs or something like that, or you can get a hard drive, but that would have been stolen too.
Right.
So they're just, and the online backup services that were available at that time were okay for a techie or an IT specialist, but they weren't designed for normal people.
Right, so, and one of the first times I heard one of your commercials actually was on the Rush Limbaugh program, and you know, he of course, you know, made it sound very easy to use, and I suspect that's one of the things that has been a big win for you is people who maybe weren't even aware there was a need for this, and then they heard that and thought, wow, you know, that's a great idea, and took advantage of it. So have you seen a lot of use jump since that kind of national publicity?
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of marketing dollars on people like Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern and Laura Ingraham and, you know, sports radio people. And that's our main marketing vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had 22 successive months now of double-digit sales growth. So,
wow.
You know, it's... Yeah, we'll be three times the size that we are today by the end of this year. So it's really taking off. And, you know, when people realize that all they have to do is put in an email address and a password, and they don't have to fuss around with any controls or scheduling or any of that kind of stuff, they say, for $50, you know, I can do that. And then the whole worry about what's going to happen if somebody breaks into your house and steals your computer or house burns down or the hard drive crashes. And, you know, we've got hundreds of thousands of users now, and I can tell you somewhere around one out of every eight PCs crashes each year. So the odds are not good. And then you add on top of that all the other kinds of things that happen, like viruses and just stupid mistakes that you make with your computer. You overwrite something by doing file save instead of file save as, and all of a sudden, you know, you've lost your work. And 46% of our users do some kind of either a partial or a full restore every year.
Yeah, and I've seen that as a computer engineer. One of the things that I get asked from friends is, you know, look, I just did this to my computer. I've hosed it. What do I do now? I got to have these documents back. And sometimes I can get the Mac for them, and sometimes I can't, depending on what they did to their computer or whether it was a physical hardware issue or just a software configuration issue. But there are very, very many times where we aren't able to get the files back, and I have to tell them, you know, I really wish you'd done backups, even if you had just backed up certain key files that they really needed, like you were mentioning the report. My wife, when she was working on her doctoral dissertation, you know, she would ask me every so often, are we sure we're backing this up?
Yeah.
Because you put so much time, effort, and energy into something like that. And I did the same thing when I worked on my dissertation. It was like backing up in multiple places all over the place. So the critical nature of the files is something that a lot of users don't even think about because they just assume it's going to be there. And so a service like this, I think, is really beneficial. One of the things I wanted to mention to you while I'm thinking about it is that, you know, we have on our blog and podcast, we have what we call the Geek Software of the Week. And normally I try to make it open source or free software, but occasionally we do have programs that are very high in terms of use but low in terms of cost. And I think from my perspective, Carbonite seems like a service that falls into that category, because the amount of money that you are charging, 49 something a year, is really very low for the amount of space and the backup and the peace of mind, if you will, to have that. So I imagine that finding that price point was a really difficult task initially.
Well, it was a little scary. I mean, we knew that we wanted to do an unlimited backup plan, because the thing that was, we did some focus groups with some of our competitors' products, and when you get to the point, if you don't offer unlimited, then you have to give people some kind of a new interface to pick what they do want to back up and don't want to back up. And what we found in our focus groups was that most people don't have a clue where their files are stored. You know, they don't know where their Quicken files are. They don't know where their email file is stored and so forth. And so when they get to this point in the installation process where the program says, pick what you want to back up, you know, and what you don't want to back up, and then they present them with this directory structure or something like that, and most people just said, I don't have a clue what I'm doing here, and they just pack it in. It's just too much trouble. So that's when we saw that, we came to the conclusion that if we wanted to be a real mass market product, we just had to have an all-you-could-eat pricing plan. And then that way, all the user has to do is put in an email address and a password, and off it goes. And just like any all-you-can-eat plan, we got, you know, some percentage of our users we lose money on, but the averages work out okay. And so we see it as a kind of a small price to pay for the simplicity that everybody then gets to enjoy.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, one thing that did occur to me in terms of a lot of our listeners are very technically oriented, and I think about it, obviously the saying you're only as good as your last backup applies here, but the thing that I was curious about is, what about the, you know, the redundancy of your website, the capability to maintain uptime and all that? How have you addressed that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we use the data that we get from you. First of all, it's encrypted before it leaves your PC, because we don't like dealing with unencrypted data. We don't want any possibility of anybody accusing us of snooping. And, you know, if we ever did, I mean, it could sink our company. But once the data gets to us, we store the data in using RAID 6 in 16 disk arrays. So the way that works is, you know, your data is spread out over those 16 drives, and we would have to lose 3 of the 16 drives simultaneously in order to lose any data. And, wow. You know, that's just the way RAID works. It's about, statistically, it's about 36 million times more reliable than a single disk drive. The likelihood of our ever losing your data due to a simultaneous series of circumstances in your lifetime is, you know, probably 1 in a million. In addition to what we have on our drive, don't forget this is backup, not archiving. So even if we did lose data, you've still got the copy on your PC. So not only would we have to lose 3 of our 16 RAID drives, but we'd also have to have the user's PC blow up at the same moment in time before data was irretrievably lost. So we actually, about every 2 to 3 months, we cycle through our entire customer base looking at checksums to make sure that the files that we have still agree with the hash that from the PCs, so the users' PCs themselves. And, you know, like any recording medium, you know, there are a certain number of bit errors on disks. And, you know, once in a while we find a bit error in one of our backed up files. And Carbonite automatically sends a command to the user's PC saying, you know, the copy you've got on your PC and the copy we got back here don't agree on a bit count. So send me a new copy so that I make sure I got it right. So that's always going on in the background because, you know, over time media deteriorate and, you know, they're just errors creep in. So we're constantly refreshing to make sure that, you know, we always have a valid copy of your data. I think we're the only ones to do anything like that.
Well, can understand that you've got the data out there. It's out on RAID, and it's you know, very solid from that perspective. Do you then, in turn, back up the backup to some other medium, or do you just...
No, we keep it live. I mean, our data center is in a building in Boston where most of the major banks and everything are all share this one big bomb-proof building. And, you know, if we were to replicate the data yet again, I don't think anybody would be interested in paying more for, you know, such a minuscule incremental improvement in availability, you know.
Right, because you already have all that redundancy CRC checking and everything.
That's
else
right. So, you know, the only thing that could happen is, you know, a 747 crashes into the building. But if that happens, problems are going to be a lot worse than losing Carbonite's backup.
That's true. And as you point out, the people's PCs still have the data unless they happen to crash at exactly the same time. So
that's right.
That's pretty good. Well, have you had any real exciting success stories that people have gotten in touch with you and said, you saved my life with Carbonite?
Well, we get them all the time. In fact, I was just listening to a new Rush Limbaugh live read, and he actually has a recording of one of his listeners who called in and, you know, told him a story about how, you know, this woman had lost all her wedding photos, and, you know, she luckily had bought Carbonite about 2 weeks before on his recommendation and was able to get them all back. But we've got literally hundreds of you know, testimonial letters that we keep around that, you know, everything from graduate students who lost their thesis to professional photographers who've lost, you know, 2 years worth of work to, you know, architects and accountants and, lots and lots of programmers and people like that who, you know, would have lost a lot of valuable work had they not had their Carbonite system working. You know, the nice thing about Carbonite is it's not scheduled. It's continuous. So it's literally working all the time in the background. So it keeps a very current copy. It's much more current than these things that do a backup once a night. You know, it's usually maybe minutes behind what you're working on.
And the other thing, too, I imagine is what really makes this possible is the connectedness of the Internet, the fact that we are online pretty much 24/7. If you were to lose your connection, I assume that when the connection was reestablished that Carbonite would go out and basically say, okay, let's do a check and get everything up to date at that point.
Yeah, we do what's called block-level incremental backup. So we'll take files and break them up into small blocks. And if you pull your internet cable out or close the lid on your laptop or something like that, when you get connected again, Carbonite will just pick up right in the middle of whatever it was doing as soon as it sees an internet. So, you know, it's really great for people like me who travel a lot and have all this stuff on our laptops, because when I get to the airport lounge and I open my laptop and connect to the internet, you know, Carbonite just automatically resumes. You know, if I've been working on stuff while I'm on the plane, you know, it'll back that stuff up in the background.
Well, you know, this kind of reminds me of one of the topics that I've been reading about recently, that a term they're calling cloud computing, where we're beginning to rely more and more on the internet as the computer, the mainframe, if you will, and getting services that are either Web 2.0 services or data services, things of that nature across the internet. Carbonite seems to me to be a good example of the kind of service that cloud computing offers.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's an organization called Always On, which is sort of a trade association that's dedicated to tracking companies that are sort of utilizing this new architecture, this new space. And we won a big award from them last year as sort of one of the top companies in this field.
Wow, that's great. Also saw that you got a good recommendation off of TechZilla, one of the main programs from Revision 3, Patrick Norton, and I forget whoever their co-host of the week was, but they were talking about Carbonite as well as a few other programs. But I think he was saying that in terms of ease of use and everything, seemed like Carbonite was kind of the winning the shootout in their comparison.
Well, you know, our idea of a real big advance is to figure out how to get the install process down from 5 clicks to 4 clicks. You know, it's hard to make a simple product, and you know,
oh, absolutely.
When you look at some of the other backup products that are on the market right now, they got so many bells and whistles and features that nobody will ever use and everything else, and it just, you know, it's kind of like, well, if it isn't selling now, let's add some more features to it. And our philosophy is just the opposite, which is the simpler the thing we can make it, the better it sells. And I like to think of our product as almost like an insurance policy for your data. Pay me $50 and I'll make sure you never lose it. That's
right.
And the less you have
and you
the
say
better.
That for that $50, it is unlimited in terms of space.
Yeah, unfortunately we have some users who are, you know, backing up 500 gigabytes, terabyte, and so forth. And, you know, we lose money.
That,
we lose money big time on those people.
Oh, I'm sure. And all the people that have all their iTunes and all their MP3s and videos and everything else that they're trying to back up. But like you say, I guess it's kind of diminishing returns in one sense. But at the same time, most people, they're just going to have certain things like their documents and so forth. So I guess it comes out in the wash somehow.
Yeah, well, you know, most people have a standard DSL ADSL or cable. And, you know, you can really only back up 2 to 3 gigabytes a day on average because of the upstream bandwidth of the typical service. So if you have a huge amount of data to back up and you figure out how long it's going to take, a lot of times people rethink it and they say, you know, I don't really need to back up those TV shows and, you know, a bunch of other garbage that I've got on my disk here. So because, you know, if it takes a month or 2 months to back all that stuff up over the internet, that's time when your more valuable documents are probably sitting in the queue and not getting backed up.
Yeah, that's true. So it's kind of almost self-regulating that way.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I think the people we have who are backing up huge amounts of stuff, they could be, maybe they're competitors who are trying to break our pick or something like that. I don't know. It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think this is a super service. And, you know, let me say this, that, you know, you guys contacted me at the possibility of an interview, but I'm not getting anything out of it per se, so it's not like we're doing an advertisement here. I'm just excited about the technology involved and the fact that the internet, you know, I've seen computing for the last 27, 28 years that I've been involved with it professionally go from stone knives and bear skins to where we are today, and there's just so many exciting things happening in the future that I think this is one of those that caught my attention as a great idea. So that's one reason I was excited about having you on.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's you know, it's a struggle just to keep up with the demand right now because you know, it seems people buy it, they like it, they tell their friends. You know, we survey our users every month, and about 97 or 98% of our users say that they would recommend Carbonite to friends and family. So there's quite a lot of word of mouth going around. And,
oh, I imagine so. Yeah.
And almost everybody either has a personal horror story, or somebody in their family or a close friend has had some horror story. So it's not like people say, well, why do I need that? You know, that's never going to happen to me.
Yeah, really.
Almost anybody you talk to can tell you about the stuff that got lost, the term paper that got lost, the banking files that got lost. You know, I mean, everybody's got some horror story.
Yeah, I imagine you feel like that Murphy is your friend.
Yeah, we like to see those disk drive crashes in the articles. There was an article in, Information Week or something not long ago that was just about disk drive failure. Because when you look at the statistics, the mean time between failure statistics that the disk manufacturers put out there, and then you look at the real world actual data on, you know, on disk drive failures, they're like two different worlds. And, you know, Google, who has several hundred thousand disk drives running in their facility out in California, they released a study, an internal study that, you know, showed that they lose about 3% of their drives between beginning and first year, and then they lose about 7 to 8% in years two and years three. And so this is like 50 times bigger failure rate than what you would think based on the manufacturer's mean time between failure specs. And then when you start to dig into the specs that the manufacturers put out, you realize that the conditions under which they're measuring these things are completely unrealistic. You know, that the drives have to be at a certain temperature, they absolutely cannot be moved, and they have a, you know, their cycle time is very low. You know, they only use them 8 hours a day, and then only a certain number of read and write operations and so forth. And so they're giving you absolutely ideal conditions.
Yeah, but which real is world, in their interest to demonstrate.
That's right. And they're open about it. It's just it's in the fine print, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
when you look at a real-life data center like Google's, and, you know, where everything is, things are running hot, and, you know, the disks are being beat on pretty heavily in terms of queries and so forth, you know, these things fail at a pretty surprising rate.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's a great idea, and again, I really appreciate you being with us and taking the time from your schedule. I'm sure just planning your next upgrade on your hardware is probably keeping you busy with the success that you've had. So
yeah, we got guys in there opening boxes and plugging in disk drives every single day. Full-time job just loading up those racks.
Wow. Yep. Well, again, I really appreciate you giving us a call and doing the interview, and we'll be putting it on our podcast, and I trust that some of the folks on the Tech Podcast Network will also avail themselves of the interview as well, because I think it's a timely topic and a useful topic to get across to the listeners of all the various podcasts that are interested in technical issues like this.
Well, that's good. And, you know, for your listeners, if they sign up for the free Carbonite trial, be sure they put in the offer code David, D-A-V-I-D, and that will get them 2 free months having listened to your show.
Oh, well, that'd be great. Well, I appreciate that. So, DAVID is the coupon code there. And we'll just, I'll be curious to see how many listeners write us and say that they've taken advantage of that myself. So hopefully we'll get a lot of good feedback, both the interview and the offer. So we really appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure, Bill.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with David Friend, CEO of Carbonite.com. I thought it was a really interesting and useful service. That's why I wanted to bring it to your attention. And, of course, don't forget coupon code as you go to their website, DAVID. That's exclusive to you here for listening to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. All right, well, let's go quickly to our tech news because we're just about out of time for this week. We're actually going over, like I said at the beginning of the program, we're going to go a little bit over time this week. The first thing we have is... Yes, the Geek Software of the Week, and no, it's not Carbonite. That would have been tempting, but no, we had a Geek Software of the Week posting out there already. Spyware Blaster version 4 is out. Spyware Blaster is an excellent program. I've been using it for years and years and years. Matter of fact, every PC that I've built and or worked on, I've put Spy Blaster on. It's just that cool. And it's from Java Cool Software, so there you go. It's got to be cool. Anyway, Spyware Blaster version 3.51 has been out for a very, very long time. This is brand new version 4, has an enhanced interface, prevents the installation of ActiveX-based spyware, adware, browser hijackers, dialers, all kinds of features, and it is free. So check that out. There's a link right there on the blog to go to Spyware Blaster and get version 4. Now, be sure you get the real Spyware Blaster. There's a lot of similarly sounding programs out there that don't do what Spyware Blaster does, and actually some of them are spyware, so you don't want to get the wrong thing. That's why I gave you a link there in the blog so you can go straight to it. All right, next item. Which Linux distro is best for you if you want to use Linux? There are just so many different distributions out there, commonly called distros in the geek culture language. And if you're wondering what should I use, well, somebody has put together a program out on the internet called the Linux Distribution Chooser. And I'd encourage you to go check that out. There's a link right there in the blog. So check that out, and I think it will be very, very useful to you. The Linux Distribution Chooser. It just asks you a bunch of questions and then tells you which distribution you would be the most happy with. Pretty cool. Also, next item. This week was notable in that Gary Gygax, father of D&D, died at the age of 69. It's kind of wild because when I graduated from high school in 1974, he and another gentleman wrote the program called Dungeons and Dragons, or the game called Dungeons and Dragons. There's been programs and video games built on it since then. But when I went to college, we actually played Dungeons and Dragons. Matter of fact, one of my best friends was a great dungeon master, and he kept us hopping with all kinds of things going on in our various adventures. So kind of neat, but at the same time, a little bit sad this week that Gary Gygax has passed away. He had some poor health in his later years, but he left the world a very strange and interesting game upon which many geeky games have been built on that cool concept since then. All right, next item, Dell gets into the ruggedized notebook market. Most of you heard of Panasonic's Toughbook line. Well, Dell now has a similar type notebook, very rugged, and it meets the Defense Department's certified standard of toughness, which is the MIL-STD standard. It will resist conditions including pressure, temperature, humidity variants, fungus, fog, sand, dust, acceleration, shock, and even gunfire. So if you need a laptop that will resist gunfire, yeah, right, then you might want to look at Dell's new ruggedized notebooks. Next item, very quickly, Amazon now has an MP3 downloader for Linux. You know, they offer MP3s for purchase, much like iTunes, and they have been restricted to Windows and the Mac. Now they have one for Linux, so props to them for that. I think you're going to start seeing more and more programs that are going to be coming out with Linux versions, because with Microsoft tanking with Vista, then more and more people are going to alternative operating systems like Linux, and that's good for us. Yes, indeed. Next item, Google and Microsoft may now be battling over Dig. Of all things, the social networking news website Dig, which Kevin Rose started along with some other folk, has been growing and growing and growing and getting more and more popular. And now Microsoft and Google are both eyeing Dig. Microsoft already has a special deal with Dig to do all their advertising online. But now, what happens if they buy it? I bet Kevin Rose is going, dude, money, all right. All right, next item. Will Internet Explorer version 8 be decent? I certainly hope so. I've written a lot of web pages, and you're constantly having to compare it with Firefox and Opera and Internet Explorer. And the problem with Internet Explorer is, historically, it has been a terrible browser and does not comply to Internet standards. And so you end up writing a page, and it looks great under Firefox, and then you use Internet Explorer, and it's terrible. And it's because Internet Explorer is such a sorry browser. That's why I encourage people to use Firefox. Go to Mozilla.com, download Firefox, and use Firefox, not Internet Explorer. Besides that, Internet Explorer offers you the extra feature of infecting your computer with lots of spyware and malware because it is so open to those kinds of things. It's very insecure. Now, it's been getting better. Version 7 is better than version 6 was. It's just better than version 5 and so forth. But version 8 is in development right now. The alpha version is out, and they're claiming that it's going to be better about adhering to Internet standards. I sure hope they're right. It certainly couldn't be much worse than it already is. So there you go. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We've had a jam-packed one and an overstuffed one in terms of time. But I trust you enjoyed it. And remember, if you do decide to go to Carbonite.com, be sure to use that coupon code that David Friend gave us, which is his first name, D-A-V-I-D, David, and that will save you 2 months free off of the cost of Carbonite. Pretty cool. Alrighty, join us next week. And remember, until then, the doctor is out of here.